Prologue. Caput the Eighth. In the year 1156, Bertrand de Blanchefort, sixth Grand Master of the Knights Templar, brought a mysterious object from Jerusalem to his home in France. Those in the know name the unremarkable metallic box Caput the 58th, or the Head of Wisdom. Soon thereafter, Bertrand de Blanchefort became the most successful Grand Master of his time, and under his influence, the Order of the Temple established itself as the most important organization the Christian Occident had ever produced. The disciples said to Jesus, "When will the repose of the dead come to pass, and when will the new world come?" He said to them, "What you look forward to has already come, but you do not recognize it." The Gospel of Thomas, verse 51. Saturday, October 28th, 1307, Chinon, France. The wind blew mercilessly over the impenetrable castle of Chinon. Towering storm clouds swept across the high plateau, and the subsequent deluge transformed the streets of the fortress into treacherous quagmires. Lightning crackled in the leaden sky, each flash succeeded by deafening rumbles of thunder, and only those condemned to be outside remained in the storm. Today was the day of St. Simon and St. Jude Thaddeus. They had been martyred after exposing the ineptitude of Emperor Xerxes' sorcerers, an act that sparked an uprising among the priests, who captured Simon and Jude Thaddeus and, here the scribes differed, beheaded or dismembered them. Soon after, a violent tempest slew the priests and sorcerers, throwing the king and his people into terror. The day of October 28, 1307, seemed intent on honoring its namesakes, at least as far as the weather was concerned, and the martyrs themselves did not seem too far away. A small dish of thin barley porridge and a slice of mouldy bread marked the start of yet another day in hell for Henri Dour, commander of the Templar settlement of Bar-sur-Aube. On some days, the sprawling limestone catacombs of Fortress Chinon resembled a cattle market, with their whips and bludgeons, emotionless torturers herded hordes of tormented souls through labyrinthine passageways, sieving out the most resilient, only to impose upon them later the most brutal punishments. Yet the day had become eerily quiet after the morning's rations were distributed. Only the distant roll of thunder hinted at impending disaster. A woman's piercing cry tore through the fragile shroud of silence, confirming Henri Dour's worst suspicions. He crouched, withdrawn, in the furthest corner of his cell. The once white cloak he wore bore only the faintest resemblance to its original color, and the tattered fabric barely shielded his emaciated body from scornful glances. His matted silver hair and formerly trimmed dignified beard were smeared with blood and dirt. His jaw was so excruciatingly painful that he could barely open it, and he had to strain his swollen eyes to figure out what was happening around him. Only with great effort could he move his limbs, which were littered with deep blue bruises and painful burns. Until now, he had stoically endured all sorts of torture, willing his spirit to leave his body so he could face such unbearable agony. And yet, a profound fear was steadily tightening its grip on his heart. What if King Philip IV of France and Guillaume de Nogaret, keeper of the seals and head of the royal secret police, the Jean du Roi, discovered that he belonged to the inner circle of the Templar Order? That, despite his modest post, he had been meeting with the Grand Master and his representatives in France. Was it possible the Jean du Roi had planted spies in the economically insignificant settlement of Bar-sur-Aube?